you want to open a business downtown, or you want to attend an opportunity to learn about global public relations. The author of a new book about global public relations, previously worked for the United Nations, the Obama administration, is the next speaker in the APR speaker series hosted by that advertising and public relations program at Grand Valley State University. I think you're a Dr. Tim Penning.
I am a doctor.
Yes.
Yeah, but you can call me Tim. That's fine.
Okay, well, I'd like to do the formal Dr. Tim Penning on behalf of how you spend your day coordinating the advertising and public relations program along with instructing at Grand Valley. You're ready to rumble next Monday night?
Yes, we are. This is we have one of these speakers every semester. So this is the winter speaker, and we try to bring in a big name speaker every semester in the area of advertising and public relations. So we're very happy to have Dr. Alaimo with us next Monday night.
Dr. Kara Alaimo, I'll just give a tease and then you can fill in with the extended bio, assistant professor at Hofstra University, speaking about her new book, Pitch, Tweet, or Engage on the Street, How to Practice Global Public Relations and Strategic Communications. Any blank to fill in there, Tim?
Yes. Well, she has background, as you alluded to before, at Communications for the United Nations Secretary General's high-level panel on the post-2015 development agenda. That's a long title for a business card, and I'm sure she has a lot to say based on that experience. And she also was appointed by President Obama as spokesperson for international affairs in the U.S. Treasury Department. So she also does some consulting, and she has a lot to say about global public relations in a variety of countries and cultures.
Great. Well, let's see if Dr. Kara Alaimo is real, assistant professor at Hofstra and more. Good morning to you, Kara.
Good morning. Pleasure to be with you.
Is it Kara or Cara?
Kara.
Ah, there we are. Kara, welcome in advance. You will be presenting Monday night, 6 p.m. in the Loosemore Auditorium on our Grand Valley State University's downtown campus. Tim, how does the evening work?
Well, people show up and listen, and she'll speak from about 6 to 7 with some time for question and answer. We hope to have a good number of our students there. We've also invited people from other campus departments, such as international business and in political science, international relations, and we have a number of alumni and professionals in the area who work in public relations in a global capacity. It's interesting that even small businesses of 50 employees or less can do global public relations these days. So,
well, the term global, very important. All right, Carl, let's talk a little bit more about you. What have been a few of the highlights of your career, and then I want to get into your latest book.
Well, I started my career working for the City of New York during Mayor Bloomberg's administration, and I was a spokesperson for economic development agencies there, and I found that my favorite part of the job was the international side of it, promoting New York City internationally as a pro-business location. And so from there, I went to the United Nations for the first time, and I coordinated a team of communicators that was responsible for promoting the world's plan for ending poverty at the time, the Millennium Development Goals. And I really got the inspiration to write my book from this experience. Every other week, I would organize a conference call with the whole communication team around the world, and I'd ask my colleagues to send me content for our global communication campaigns by particular deadlines. And inevitably, my colleagues would say, yes, no problem. And then the deadline would come, and I wouldn't have what I thought they were going to send me. And finally, my boss, who was from South Africa, had to explain to me that in many cultures, it's rude to say no. And so my colleagues would say yes to anything I ever asked of them, regardless of whether they had any intention of ever delivering. And that was my first sort of crash course in global communication, and it made me realize that I really needed to understand a lot more about cultural differences if I was going to be effective communicating internally, let alone to the outside world at the United Nations. From there, I worked in President Obama's administration. I was spokesperson for international affairs in the Treasury Department. So essentially, my portfolio was U.S. global economic diplomacy. Spent 18 months practically living on airplanes in that position.
Wow.
And in that role, also got to work on Jim Kim's campaign for the World Bank presidency. And after that, I went back to the United Nations as a head of communications, working for the group of heads of state who wrote the world's current plan for ending poverty, the Sustainable Development Goals. And very much looking forward to my trip to Michigan on Monday.
Yay. Tim?
Interesting. Kara, I have a question for you. With your experience and the interviews you did with the book, why are so many international public relations professionals not really so adept at it? There's the lack of cultural awareness. What are some of the other faults that you see?
Absolutely. Well, I think that there really haven't been good resources. I wrote this book in part because I couldn't find resources that would explain to me how to adapt my communication campaigns when I was working in different countries and cultures around the world. So I do feel that there's been a general lack of cultural awareness, but I also agree with you that it's rather shocking. I interviewed senior communication executives in 31 countries as part of the research for my book. And the one thing I heard probably most frequently in these conversations was that it astounded them that Fortune 100 companies based, for example, in the United States would think that they could implement the same campaign that they developed for the U.S. in Canada without cultural adaptations, or that they could just sort of fly to London for the day and develop a campaign for all of Europe, which is, of course, so incredibly diverse. And so I think a big part of it has been lack of resources, which is really sort of the reason that I wrote my book. But I also think that practitioners need to have greater awareness of cultural differences and sort of knowledge that they really sort of do need to adapt their messages, strategies, and tactics for other countries and cultures.
Dr. Kara Alamo with us, L-A-A-L-A-I-M-O, Global PR Professor and Consultant, coming to West Michigan this Monday night, Loosemore Auditorium, Understanding Global PR, to talk about her book and more, part of this winter speaker series, along with Dr. Tim Penning. And Tim, I know you wanted to mention a bit about basically questions about your ad and PR program, and where does global PR fit in here with your instruction on a daily basis to the to our future PR professionals?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting, and when we pick speakers, we try to pick those who are talking about things that are relevant and current. There's so much in advertising and PR that is, but I think global public relations and global business and global interaction is so important for a number of reasons. First, we're seeing more and more students having the incentive and initiative to leave the firm and do a study abroad opportunity. In fact, next week, our study abroad office is doing a program just for ad and PR students, of whom there are 600. So we have a lot of them. And they're going to places like Ireland to do an internship at a PR firm. They're studying in Italy. One right now is getting ready to go to Israel and even other countries that don't begin with the letter I. And in our program, we do have one course, International Advertising and PR, and we're trying to build that. It's not required. We're trying to build that as an elective. And then we touch on international concepts in many of our other classes, from the fundamentals to case studies and management and other situations. And if you talk to professionals, they're saying increasingly, and employers, you can't be ignorant of the global marketplace and international cultures and things like that. It's important for professionals in any field to be more conscious of that. So that's a burden on us educators to make sure we bring them there.
Kara, again, your book, Pitch, Tweet, or Engage on the Street. You include a chapter on how to effectively utilize major global traditional and what social media outlets, including from Al Jazeera to the Chinese platforms?
Exactly. And I think that practitioners really need to understand that the media functions incredibly differently in different countries and cultures. So, for example, here in the United States, the top sources of information that go on to trend on Twitter are the New York Times, CNN, and ESPN. So if you want to influence the conversation on Twitter, one of the best ways to do that is to influence the mainstream media. Well, the exact opposite is true in China, where citizens know that the government censors the press and that they can't really trust the version of events that they read in the newspaper. So in China, if you want to influence the social media conversation, you want to be making friends with an independent group of social media influencers who have gained popularity on Weibo and WeChat for sharing information that actually turns out to be true. Also important is sort of how you engage with the media. So here in the United States, if you asked me a question that I thought was unfair and I started screaming at you, people would think that I was unhinged.
Unhinged,
well, in
yeah.
Arab world, Unhinged, yeah. In the Arab world, the exact opposite is true. And so if you're talking about an emotional subject and you don't become visibly and audibly emotional, people won't trust you because they'll think that you don't care. So it's really important to understand individual platforms, but also how you engage with reporters in different countries and cultures around the world.
I trust that and other practical tips you'll present on Monday night, Cara?
Another big cultural difference is between high-context and low-context communicators. So here in the United States, we're low-context communicators, which means we tend to say things fairly bluntly and directly. But in many other cultures across Asia, Africa, and Latin America, people are what we call high-context communicators, which means they won't say things directly. It will be expected that you're picking up on the nuance, on what's left unsaid, on things like body language. And so an example would be, I had a student from Spain who told me that people in Spain think Americans must be really slow because we write coffee may be hot on our coffee cups. Well, in Spain, everyone knows that coffee is hot. And so you wouldn't tell people something so obvious. And she said, I know that, you know, companies in the U.S. do it because they don't want to be sued, but in Spain, you just never sue someone for not telling you coffee's hot because people pick up on sort of that context. They're high context communicators. So context is a big one. Another big one is different approaches to time. So the U.S. is what we call a monochronic culture, which means that we tend to be fairly punctual. But many other cultures around the world are different. There's this great quote in my book from a practitioner who says, you know, if we say, let's meet at 10 a.m. on Monday, at 10.05 a.m. in New York, you're late.
Right.
At 10.05 a.m. in Brazil, a week later, you're just getting talking. There's just sort of a more fluid approach to time. So you have to be aware of that in your public relations strategies. I had a former student who worked for a big PR firm, Burson Marsteller, in Ecuador. And Burson's team in Miami wanted the Ecuadorian team to promote a Sony product by having a press event. Well, my former student said, reporters won't all show up at the same time. We can't just have a press conference. So she did an all-day open house so that regardless of when reporters came, they could still participate and cover the story. So I thought that was a really sort of creative adaptation to the local culture.
Very cool. That and more come Monday night. Details one more time for this, Dr. Tim Penning, free and open to the public.
Free and open to the public. We welcome anyone who has an interest in this and like to have people talk afterwards. They might be able, if they have Dr. Alaimo's book, they can get it signed. She'll have information about the book there. 6 p.m. Loose Moore Auditorium on Grand Valley's beautiful downtown campus.
Dr. Alaimo, how do we find out more information about you and your work?
You can find it on my website, which is caraalaimo.com, caraalaimo.com, or my Twitter handle, which is at caraalaimo.
Awesome. Keep up your good work. See you Monday night. Pitch, tweet, or engage on the street. How to practice global public relations and strategic communications. Your presentation, Understanding Global PR, Monday night. Thank you.
Looking forward. Thank you.
See you then.
Dr. Tim Penning, just a final word to you. How do we find out more about you? And certainly our advertising and public relations program.
Well, we also have a website. So if you go to gvsu.edu/SOC for School of Communications and then /APR for Advertising Public Relations, there's a lot of information there. And you'll find my bio and ways to contact me there also.
When's your next run?
We're doing the Riverbank run.
See you there.
Yeah, all righty.